Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to go over the first six verses. I find it interesting that Solomon, he's been trying to convince his son to listen to wisdom. And so as he's been doing that, he's been trying to find interesting ways to keep his attention and to focus him on what he needs to do. And so here he's going to use some poetic license, if you would, and he's going to use some interesting analogies in order to teach us how to be attached to God's word. And I think that's a good word for it. You know, some people can be very attached to things, can't they? I mean, maybe you're attached to a restaurant and it's your favorite and you go there and then, or you're attached. Here's one. How many of you have ever been attached to a TV show? And then it ends. They finally get off the island after how many years were they on the island? A three-day tour? So many times they were that close to Gilligan's Island. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others are like, who's that? Now what do? You know, you don't know what to do with yourself anymore. Now I got to go find a new favorite show. Maybe you're like a lot of millennials today who are attached to going to school for a career. And they end up just finding more and more and more to study because the idea of leaving the nest, the school, is just a little too much for them. There's a lot of things we can be attached to. You can be attached to pets. You can be attached to people. You can be attached to pastimes. And I think one of the things that we allow ourselves to do, we get attached to so many different things. How many of you have ever been attached to coffee? Some of you. But here he says, be attached to God's word. And I think that's a really good analogy. So let's look at what he says here and find out what we need to be doing. It says, verse 1, my son, do not forget my law. Now, how many of you, where are my keys? Where's my phone? Now, if you have keys, one of the things I do is I always put my keys in the bowl by the front door. We have a little bowl by our front door. When I walk in the house, I take my keys and I toss them in the bowl. And on my way out the door, my first stop is what? The bowl. And I don't know about you, I know a lot of people have multiple keys for each car, right? Maybe you have two or three key fobs for your car. I keep the other ones locked away. Only one set of keys for each car is ever available at any given time. Why? Because only one person can drive it at a time. So what I do is I have a bowl by the front door and the keys to each car is in that bowl. So if you're leaving and you're going to take the truck, then you grab the truck's keys and then everyone knows, oh, the truck's gone. Looks like I have to take the sedan or I have to go take the other little car or whatever it is. So that way everyone knows because there's a number of us in our house who drive. So we keep them there. If you lose the keys while you're out, well, then I'll have to go unlock the little place where I keep the other keys and grab those out and find you. But on my way out the door, I've always got the keys there. So I grab my house keys, I grab my church keys, I grab my car key, and then I walk out the door. And on my way back in, I empty my pocket and there they go. I always keep them in the same place because I don't want to lose them. You know, when you have something, he says, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget my law. Don't forget my commandments. And I find that interesting because as I have little kids, I don't want to forget to teach them and I don't want them to forget to obey God's word. But I have found something interesting having kids and having a dog and training our dog. He knows what the word sit, stay, down, to lay down. He knows what it means to come. He knows what all of that means. But when he gets really excited, he forgets everything. My kids are the same way. They know what they're supposed to do, but when they get excited, they forget everything. And so sometimes they need a loud noise or they need something to grab their attention and bring them back so they don't what? Forget, right? It's like, hey, huh? Me? Yeah. And so he says, don't forget. And sometimes we need a reminder. Sometimes we need something to jolt our life to bring us back to that place to where we're focused on God's word and we're following God's word. So he says, don't forget my law. Don't forget to be in God's word. Don't forget to be doing what's right. And I think that sometimes when we look at God's word, how do we not forget? I mean, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to do that all the time. And so here's the easiest way that you have to remember God's word. You ready? But let your heart keep my commandments. So here's Solomon's solution to not forgetting God's word. You ready for it? He says, do it. Obey. So attach God's word to your heart through action. Okay? Through action. And I want you to write that down on that first line. Through action. Now, I found it interesting that 10% of what you hear someone tell you, you will remember. 20% of what you see someone do, you'll remember. But 80% of what you teach or do, you will retain. So think about that for a minute. One of the key aspects of accomplishing, remembering, and staying in God's word is to simply do it. Now, Pastor, that sounds a little too easy. Yes, it is, actually. So think about it this way. You're reading your morning devotion. And in the morning, you're reading God's word. And God puts it on your heart that you need to stop complaining. Maybe that's what he puts on your heart. So here you are in the morning. God says, stop complaining. All right, I'm going to stop complaining. And then you forget about it. How many of you ever had that happen before? Well, I think the first way to do it is right there when God says, stop complaining. God, I'm sorry for complaining. But I can't believe that you're giving me so many things. No, I'm kidding. You don't do that. Because how many of you complain sometimes in your prayers? Anybody here? So maybe you start right there in your prayers. God, today I want to act appropriately. I want to do what's right. I want you to guide my heart and to help me focus on you. And I don't want to complain today. So God, I'm going to give you joy. And I would always encourage you to turn a negative into a positive, which means if God says don't complain, then what's the opposite of complain? Praise him no matter what situation you're in, right? Wouldn't that be the opposite? So right then and there, start praising the Lord. And maybe write a little note and tell yourself not to complain, but do it immediately, okay? So whatever you have to do, right then and there, do it. Maybe the Lord is telling you not to be so bitter. You need to apologize. Fine. Go find someone. If you're married, they're not that far away. Go find them and apologize, right? Find your kids, your landlord, your neighbor who lives downstairs with the loud music. Find someone and go apologize and say, I'm sorry for being bitter at you. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm sorry. And then throughout the day, just keep doing it. Once you start doing it, guess what happens? It's easy to keep the momentum going, isn't it? I'm not going to complain today, or I'm not going to be mad at somebody today, or whatever it is that the Lord is teaching you. So my encouragement to you is to be attached to God's word through action. Do it. Accomplish it. Notice what he says. If you do this, length of days and long life and peace, it will add to you. So God's word has these benefits, but the only way that you're ever going to receive the benefit of God's word is through doing it. Doing it. And when do you start doing it? You start doing it now, right this minute, right this second, when God puts something on your heart. And maybe right now there's something on your heart that you need to do. Write it down. Write it down. You know what's really awesome is my phone has the ability to create alarms that go off throughout the day, right? And one of the cool things is that each alarm can be labeled. So when the alarm goes off, it shows a little label on my phone. So one time I put, get your rear end out of bed. And that's what shows up on the little screen when it starts going off. But I made it my ringtone so that when it would sound like my phone's ringing, because when the alarm's going off, I'm not as quick to grab it as when it's ringing. So I made it my ringtone. And then when I look to see who's calling, it says, get your rear end out of bed. Sucker. Now I've already read it. Might as well get up, right? I'm already awake enough. You can set an alarm on your phone with whatever it is that God's put on your heart. Tell it to go off every 15 minutes and set it to Facebook, whatever sound Facebook makes, or set it to whatever sound it sounds like when you're getting a text. So when you think, oh goody, somebody just texted me. Nope. It's your verse. Don't be bitter or don't complain or whatever it is. And remind yourself that way, but it's an amazing way to just continuously do that which God is putting on your heart. And if every day you did that with something new, every day you picked one idea that you were going to focus on that day. Maybe today it's bitterness. Maybe tomorrow it's lust. Maybe the next day it's your mind and your constant negative attitude. Or maybe it's worshiping Jesus. Or whatever it is, whatever the Lord is telling you through your devotion, implement it immediately so that you can have success. But then he goes on to do something else. He says in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Now, this is really funny to me. I want you to picture something for me real quick. Have you ever gone to the park or to the store and your family leave you there? Has that ever happened to you? Now, whose job was it for you to stay with them? I mean, think about it. You're at the grocery store. You're with your parents when you're a little kid, and mom says, you stand right next to me, son. Honey, you need to hold on to the basket. Don't let us get separated. And all of a sudden, they're gone, and you're by yourself, and you have found yourself forsaken. They're not there anymore. They're gone. And he says, don't let that happen to you. You know, one of the things that I have found in my life, it's my responsibility not to get left behind when it comes to doing what's right. It's my responsibility to not let them forsake me. The idea isn't that God's word, mercy and truth, are going to run away from you, but mercy and truth are on a path. And if you stop to smell the dead roses, then you're going to get left behind. If you get caught up in life, if you get caught up in things, you're going to get left behind. And I find this really important because sometimes we use these excuses of the harsh realities of life to take a break from doing what's right. We allow our condition, we allow our frustration, we allow things going on in our life to say, oh, I don't have to be good today. I don't have to be right. I don't need mercy or truth today because I'm going through some issues. And he says, no. The minute you turn around and deal with something else, you look around and they're gone. You're by yourself at the grocery store again. They left you there. So what does he say? What's his solution? Bind them around your neck. So can you imagine being like a slave, chained? You know, how many of you would probably freak out if you saw a kid with a chain around his neck attached to the basket at the grocery store? That'd be pretty messed up, right? You'd probably call 911, hopefully. There's a kid who's chained to a grocery cart. You need to get here quick. Is he okay? Oh, I guess so. That'd be pretty weird, wouldn't it? But that's the solution. He says, bind your neck. So put a leash, essentially, on yourself and attach it to truth and mercy. How awesome is that? What he wants you to do is, he says, attach yourself so that you get tugged on. Now, I have a dog and I like to take my dog on walks, but sometimes he gets a little sidetracked. And you know what? I don't stop walking. Now, my dog is like this big. He's 7 months old and he's huge. And so when I'm walking, if he wants to run, he's going to be dragging me behind him. At other times, though, when I want to keep walking, what does he do? He's trying to smell something behind me. I just keep walking. And when I get to the end of his leash, it tugs on his neck. And guess what that does? It jolts his head forward a little bit, and he keeps walking with me, doesn't he? He doesn't stop. He may stop for a second, but he can never get too far behind me because he's always being tugged on. Now, one of the ways that you can do this, and I'd like to put you to put on, if you're taking notes, just put attached to our hearts. You need to attach God's word to your heart. You need to bind it there. You need to tie it on. Okay? Now, it's really sad that today you see dogs running free in the park and kids on leashes. Okay? But at the same time, there are parents whose kids have run off, and you would say, I would never trust my kid to walk down the street because I know that they just bolt and they run into the street. So they put them on this little backpack leash thing that helps keep them safe, okay? Not everyone needs that kind of a leash, but some people do. And I want you to think about that. Maybe you need accountability. Maybe you need somebody who can tug on your heart and say, hey man, what's going on in your life? Hey, why are you doing what you're doing? Maybe the Lord has brought someone to you to say, hey, what you're doing is messed up and you need to stop. Don't get mad that they're telling you what to do. Ask the Lord, am I doing something wrong that I need to change? And I really want to encourage you that as you continue to serve the Lord, that you would attach God's word to your heart. And now, I find this interesting that we need to tie ourselves. It's not that you're waiting for someone to come and you're binding yourself to God's word. You're saying, no matter what, I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to attach myself to God's word. One of the ways that you can do that is you can memorize it. Okay? You memorize it. Because when you memorize God's word, when you memorize Bible verses, when something is going wrong in your life, when you start messing up, that Bible verse is going to come to the front of your mind. You're going to, oh yeah, forgot. There's that Bible verse again, tugging me along, trying to tell me, no, you don't get to stay and wallow. You need to move on and move forward in your walk. And so memorizing God's word is a great way to be tugged when things are going badly. The last thing that I want you to see is in verse 5 through 6. And he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now this is interesting because he's saying trust. You trust for something that you do not have or something that you're expecting or something that you want. You do not trust for things that are already here. I'm not trusting for someone to bring me a music stand. Matter of fact, I have three. I don't know why. I'm not trusting for someone to do that because I already have one, okay? Trust is for what is expected. It's for what is to come. I trust in the Lord to take care of me. I trust in him to provide for me. I trust in him to give me what I need, but I trust in him, and that trust is based on what he's already done. And he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, who are you trusting in? You're not trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in others. You're trusting in God. Why? He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. God formed you. He died on the cross for your sins. Now, if you really are in Christ today, if you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then it shouldn't be hard to trust in the Lord. Why? Well, if God made you, Christ died and saved you, then what can he not do? And if he can do all things, and if he's already taken care of you, why do you need to worry about anything? So he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not just part of it. You know what I find really funny? A lot of people can trust in the Lord for their salvation, but not their bills. They can trust in the Lord for getting them to heaven, but not for getting them the job that they need, or not for healing their body, or not or taking care of their children, or providing for their needs. And maybe you've fallen into that same category where you trust in the Lord for, you know, salvation and that whole thing. But yeah, I think I'll trust in myself to pay the bills. I think I'll trust in myself to protect my kids. I think I'll trust in myself with my finances. I don't trust in others. I only want to trust in myself. And that's not what he says. What he says is trust in the Lord with all of your heart. For everything, every aspect, every part of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Now, this is an interesting idea because leaning not on your own understanding is the idea of having a cane or crutches. And what he's saying is what you can see and understand and perceive is not enough to be able to make educated decisions. My kids make decisions based on what they know, not reality. Okay? They don't understand that eating 10 pounds of chocolate at 2 o'clock in the morning is a bad idea. Because from their perspective, this is a good idea. It tastes good. It fills my stomach, right? I don't have to cook. There's very little mess to clean up. It's a win-win. Yeah, it's not, how many of you know, how many of you have a different perspective on that one? That you know that's a bad idea, right? There's an old saying, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Anybody ever have one of those moments where you did something ridiculous, but at the time it seemed perfectly okay and acceptable, right? Your understanding of every situation in your life only has so much perspective because you can't see what's going on everywhere else, but God can. And God says, don't trust in yourself or your own understanding. There was a lot of people before the market crash in 08 that were thinking that, hey, I got this covered. I'm good to go. My stocks are up. My retirement's all set. I'm ready to go. They did not know that in the very near future, it was all going to come crashing down and that they were going to lose everything. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust yourself or your judgment. Trust in what the Lord has told you to do. Follow His word, even when it seems crazy, even when it seems counterculture or counterproductive. Follow God's word. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. So in everything that you do. Now that's an interesting thing. Let me ask you a quick question. How many of you would do everything that you do if Jesus Christ was standing next to you when you did it? I want you to think about that statement really quickly. So would you argue with your spouse in the same way if Jesus was standing there? Would you treat your kids the same way? Would you talk about your boss in the same way if Jesus was standing right there? How would you act to the police officer when he pulls you over? How would you spend your money? How would your time on the internet go differently if Christ was right there? Now, thinking about that for a minute, Christ is with you at all times. The Bible says that Jesus is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And when you think about that for a minute, then you think about, He says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. God wants you to realize that He can see you. That means everything that you do, whether you think someone is watching you or not, you're supposed to acknowledge Him. Now, sometimes we end up in a place that we shouldn't be. And most of the time that's because, well, we didn't acknowledge Him when no one was looking. We didn't acknowledge Him when we thought we could get away with it. But we can't. So what does He want us to do? In your mind, He wants you to focus on the Lord. So attach Christ to your mind. When you're thinking, don't just use your own perspective of what you think would be good or bad, but ask God, God, what do you have for me? God, show me what you want for me. And if it's crazy, follow Him no matter what. And what He says is, if you do that, He shall direct your path. And here's the key. God wants to take you places. And He wants to do amazing things in your life. But it's going to take you in His word, attached to His word, and following His word every day. And that will cause good things to happen. He will direct your path. So today, my encouragement to you is to bind Christ to your word, to your neck. Bind His word to your heart. And follow it and act upon it every day. And as you do, you're going to find things changing in a dramatic way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your word. We pray that You would just bless each one here, and that as we would serve You, Lord, that You would be glorified in all things. So, Lord, we thank You that You have given us Your word, that You would reveal it to us, Lord, that You would teach us through it, that You would guide us through it. And we pray, Father, that as we serve You, that You would be glorified in all things. So, as we come before You, Father, use this week. Be bound to our hearts. And reveal Yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen.